Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rediscover Hour. Patrick Conley with you here again on the Rediscover Hour. Great to be with you on this Gaudete weekend. It is the weekend that is, well, it's supposed to mark about the halfway point of Advent, right? It's the third Sunday of Advent. So when Advent is at its full, then we have two more weeks to go until Christmas, or almost 2 weeks to go. But this year, because Advent is as short as it can possibly be, with Christmas being on a Monday, we only have just over, well, literally just over a week left before Christmas. It's on top of us. And I'm wondering if this has been kind of a harried Advent season for you as you've sought to get ready for Christmas. Have you been able to take some time in silence and reflection to think about Advent and keeping Advent, Advent? Those who know me know that I am, again, a bit of an Advent Scrooge. I like to say, okay, we need to keep some of our Christmas practices for Christmas so that when Christmas actually gets here, we are able to celebrate to the full. But it's a short Advent this year, and therefore probably a little bit tougher to enter into fully. That is the downside of it being such a short Advent this year. And I was thinking one of the things that I like to do in terms of getting Advent or making Advent really Advent, especially one of the reflections that I like to encourage at this time of year is to think about that they're the Holy Family. What were they doing? Of course, Jesus is not yet born. So what were they doing around this time? And Mary, in her pregnant state, was making her way down to Bethlehem with Joseph. And they were looking for a room, and they were looking to be registered, enrolled in this census that was taking place, and to enter into their season of waiting. Certainly, it was not an easy season. It was not a season that was easily met with, easily walked through, especially as you're waiting both in the sense of traveling, and traveling often involves a number of ways of waiting, but also in Mary's pregnancy and waiting, expecting a child. And to enter in, I just encourage you to use some of that Ignatian imagination and get into the season of Advent by placing yourselves in the lives of the Holy Family. And speaking of family, of marriage and family, that's exactly what we're going to be talking about this Friday morning, or if you're listening to the rebroadcast, Saturday evening or Sunday morning. We're going to be talking about marriage and family here on the Rediscover Hour. We're joined by Bill Walker, who is the director of a ministry called Marriage in Christ, as well as Andrew and Emily Hayden, who have been participating in Marriage in Christ, and Emily herself is involved in the leadership of it. And then a little bit later on, we'll be talking with Gene Stoppelstedt with the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life about how to live Advent well as a family. We tend to associate things like holidays like Thanksgiving and Christmas as family times, but what do we do in those seasons, in those liturgical seasons of waiting? How do we live that well as a family? So even though there's just about a week left of Advent here, Gene Stoppelstedt is going to give us some good tips about how to live that remaining week and then in Advents in years to come better as a family. So at the top of this show, let us pause as we always do as we're talking about marriage and family and commit the show to our Lord and Heavenly Father through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Marriage and family is our theme this morning on the Rediscover Hour, and we're going to be right back with Bill Walker from Marriage in Christ. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Kenny says towards the end of his email, by the way, Drew, there is no God. If there were, and he was a loving God, my aunt wouldn't have gotten MS. Innocent children wouldn't get cancer. Stop the nonsense, pretty much what he says. April's listening to us in Minnesota. Hi, April.
I just wanted to comment on that. I have MS. I have back problems. I got so many issues. I've become closer to God through my minimal suffering in comparison to what Jesus did for us. It is only because of Relevant Radio that I know how to recognize how my suffering is a blessing from God.
Faustina wrote one day, "The Lord gave me to understand what unimaginable glory awaits the person who resembles the suffering of Jesus here on earth. I just say to you, suffer well, okay? United to that of the Lord."
The Divine Mercy Chaplet, part of the Drew Mariani Show.
4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific on Relevant Radio. Talk radio for Catholic life.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio, and Patrick Conley with you again as we're talking about marriage and family on this this Advent episode, this Gaudete episode of the Rediscover Hour. And joining me now in studio is Bill Walker, who's the director of a ministry that's called Marriage in Christ, and I am meeting him for the first time as well as finding out about Marriage in Christ for the first time, so I'm as curious as any of our listeners. Bill, it's a pleasure having you on the show this morning. How are you this morning?
I am fine. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great.
Delighted.
Great. Yeah, well, thank you so much for making it out to the studio this morning. So I want to get to know you a little bit first. So are you a native Twin Cityan?
I am. I was born and raised in South St. Paul, Minnesota.
Okay.
Went to Brady High School. Mm-hmm. Spent a little bit of time out at Morris, Minnesota. As I tell the story, hunting ducks and drinking beer and playing football before I met the Lord.
Yes.
And then I spent one year at the minor seminary, St. John Vianney, and then I spent one semester at St. Paul Seminary, where I met Monsignor Jerome Quinn, who was pivotal in my life and my career, and actually partly responsible for Marriage in Christ.
Wow. Okay. Wonderful. And how about now? Are you, you're obviously married.
I'm married. My wife, Adela, and I have been married for 43 years.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah. We have 5 children, 3 grandchildren. I spent 23 years as headmaster of Trinity School, the last 18 of those at River Ridge here in the Twin Cities. Mm-hmm. And then for the last 8 years, I've been working with Marriage in Christ. So after I retired, the parents gave us a wonderful gift, and they sent us to a trip to the Holy Land.
Oh, wow.
And talk about Advent and preparing for Christmas. We were in Bethlehem for Christmas, so it was delightful.
Mm.
But while we were there, one of the rector of Tantour, where we were staying, was reading one of the gospel about Anna and Simeon, the old folks in the temple who met Jesus, or saw Jesus. And he said, he looked at us retired couples, and Adele and I were the youngest, and he said, "You know, the thing that God made you for might still be ahead of you."
Wow.
And I thought, gosh, I just finished a nice career as a head of school and all those things, and ahead of us, really? Well, I'd been working with Monsignor Quinn's material on 1st and 2nd Timothy, and I discovered a number of things about marriage and family in the scriptures, and I really fell in love with the scriptures and marriage and all of that. So when I got back from the Holy Land, when Adele and I did, I went and talked to some of our friends in the People of Praise, and we said, "Well, what could this possibly mean? The thing that ahead of us?" So we began thinking about pulling together a very practical seminar that would help couples appropriate in a practical way some of the things that we had known and experienced. And paramount in that was two things, was really the power of the Holy Spirit and the support of other people. So we knew that whatever we ended up doing would have to have at least those two elements.
Right. Okay. So this is, I'm assuming this is the embryonic form of marriage and what was to become marriage in Christ.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. All right, so continue the story. Take us on from there. How did it develop from that point?
Well, we began thinking about what was really important to a married couple. What was our experience of marriage, and how did we make it work and all that? And so they commissioned me to write a series of talks, you know, that ultimately became the episodes. And because of my theological background, I wrote what I thought were just really beautiful theological talks. And, and I had a wonderful group of very practical friends, and they said, "Oh, Bill, those are beautiful, but they're not practical. So try again." I don't know how many iterations I went through. we did multiple versions of this until finally we got to some really practical ways to express the beautiful truths of our faith about marriage and family. And so then we began to think about, okay, so we've got these basic talks, but what people would do at a weekly meeting can't possibly make that big of a difference. So we ended up thinking about really practical stuff, and we read everything we could about how do couples form habits, how do they deepen friendship with each other, again, all in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we came up with a set of prayer, conversation starters, and loving actions that, and I'd hold it up for the audience to see, but I realize we're
one
on radio.
One of the deficiencies of radio
that's
is radio.
Right.
Yes, right.
But what we thought that the components of a really strong marriage would have to be praying together every day, having conversations that involved more than just who's, you know, taking out the garbage, who's picking up the kids from school, all the business of life. But the kind of things we used to ask when we were getting to know each other, you know, like, "What your favorite ice cream? Is it still the same? You know, your favorite colors? Tell me about your summer jobs." I remember, Adele and I had been married for, I think, 41 years at this point, and one of the conversation starters was summer jobs. She started describing working for a dry cleaner in high school. I said, "You worked for a dry cleaner?"
You know? I mean, 41 years, and she can still surprise you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, all the time, you know, it happens. And then, you know, developing habits where we act like we love one another, and again, in the power of the Holy Spirit. So that became kind of the basic structure of what we thought couples should do on a day-to-day basis, is form habits of praying together, of good conversation, of loving actions, and again, in the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. So. Wow. Okay. All right. Very good. So it's sounding a little bit more on the practical side right now.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, the other component to this, we thought, well, maybe we could package this and send it, just people could get it online and stuff like that. But from our experience, not only in the people of praise, but also just having observed, what was going on in the seminar, is the other component that was really crucial was having this accountability with other people. Mm-hmm. So you would come to the seminar and you'd have a presentation, but then there'd be this small group discussion, men with men and women with women. And in that conversation, you know, one of the things we'd say is, "Well, how'd your homework go? How often did you pray together? How often did you have these conversations?" And, you know, quite often, at least in the first weeks, and I'd be with the guys, they'd say, "Well, we did it once, we did it twice." And we'd say, "That's terrific. That's two more times than you've prayed together with your spouse, probably for the last year." And so encouraging little steps, developing habits over time, celebrating the successes that we have, but also having this accountability, which became a key part of the seminar.
Right. So you saw the importance of doing this not just as individual couples, but as a group together in the seminar. So Is the seminar a one-off? Is it a one-day thing, or is it meet multiple times over the course of a few weeks? It sounds like there's some returning pieces of it.
Correct. The seminar meets for 2 hours a night, one night a week for 5 weeks.
Okay.
And the real heart of the seminar then would be that work that we do at home. But the other highlight of the seminar is on the fourth week or the fourth evening, often it's in the evenings, we have a little prayer service. And in the prayer service, we invite couples to commit their marriage to Christ, and then, in their own words, invite the Holy Spirit to be more part of their marriage. And then, in their own words again, kind of pledge to live one life together. Not exactly renewal of the vows, but that same sort of kind of spirit feel to it.
One other thing that strikes me about it, as I'm listening to you talk, you said early on in the interview that you went through a lot of iterations of it,
right,
because it just wasn't practical enough. But that's interesting because you also then said that, well, it's not just about who's picking up the kids from school, who's taking the garbage out, who's walking the dog, whatever it would be this, you know, this day or this week, which I think is what we tend to think of as the practicalities of marriage. How are we going to get from getting out of bed in the morning to going to bed at night and still married throughout the day, right?
Right.
But it sounds to me like the practicality of marriage lies a lot more in how we relate with one another, which those things are a subset of, I
Correct.
Would think, right? But you're talking about, you're focusing on communication and prayer and inviting the Lord to be part of your marriage, yeah?
Exactly.
Yeah. And so how have you seen this since its beginning? How have you seen this spread and affect marriages? We're going to be talking with Andrew and Emily in a little bit to hear how it's affected their marriage.
Mm-hmm.
But how has it affected your marriage? How has it affected the marriages of others that you've heard about?
Well, we've been doing the seminar for about 8 years now. I think over 1,000 couples around the country have been at a seminar. And we keep hearing back from couples of all ages or years of marriage, anywhere from, well, as you hear from Andrew and Emily, 8 months to, we had one couple that was been married for over 60 years. And they keep telling us that it's transformative. And it's transformative in the sense that they begin to experience what I would call the grace of the sacrament. So, I mean, if you think about the grace of the sacrament as this gift that God the Father gives to us on our wedding day, so often it's a gift that doesn't get opened, doesn't get used. A friend of ours tells a story of how when she was helping her mother-in-law declutter her home, she found in the closet this wrapped package, and it turned out to be a wedding present that she hadn't opened for 50 years.
Wow.
And she, you know, unwrapped it and opened it up, and it was a set of linen table napkins, you know,
wow,
that she hadn't used. And I began to think, you know, that's a lot like what happens to us as married couples. We get this extraordinary gift, you know, when in the nuptial blessing, they call down the Holy Spirit on the couple. And so often we have this gift of the Holy Spirit that we haven't figured out how to open it. We haven't figured out how to unwrap it. Now, you don't unwrap that wedding present by, you know, untying bows and tearing off paper. You do it by being intentional in your actions, because it's also very incarnational, practical, if you will. It's doing our part to actually show up in the morning and pray with your spouse. You know, it's doing our part to carve out time to have this little conversation. It's you know, it's deciding that today, when Adela left for work, I said goodbye, I love you. And, you know, that's become it was a habit we used to have when we were newly married, and mm-hmm. it kind of disappeared, and we were working on this, and it came back. But those are the practical things. It's the ways in which we can help one another pray and talk and support one another. We find couples often tell us that, yeah, we'd love to pray, but we don't know how.
Mm.
So, and that was actually my experience too. I mean, when Adele and I were thinking about developing these things, we knew prayer had to be a big part of it. And I looked at her and I said, but we don't do it.
That's honest.
How are we going to tell other people to pray if we don't do it?
Right, right.
So we began developing these very, it's a very simple format, but it helps couples with a way in which, you know, you can sit down and you start your prayer. And then we supplied the scripture, because frankly, a lot of people don't know how to use the Bible. I mean, if you said, go look up, you know, John 4, well, they got to find their Bible, and then they got to find John, and then they got to find 4, and you got too many steps in the way, and, you know, pretty soon you give up. So we supplied all of that, and it turns out that this way of praying has been very intimate. That's one of the things we hear from couples, that that praying together in this way, we used to pray, you know, kind of parallel, but now when I hear her pray for things, I hear what's on her mind. I hear what's on the Holy Spirit's mind. I hear what moves her.
Wow. Amazing. My guest is Bill Walker, who's the director of a ministry called Marriage in Christ, and he's explaining to us just some of the particularities about this particular marriage, or excuse me, about this particular seminar, and some of the things that go through, and the importance of intimacy through prayer and conversation, and just those ways of getting to know one another better, even after years, decades of marriage. And I guess that would be another question for you, Bill, is that what you said, that couples from being married 8 months to 60 years go through this. Is there any particular target of a couple that would take part in a seminar such as this, or is it basically anyone who's married?
Well, it really is for any couple that's married. But what we're doing right now with the Archdiocese is we're trying to focus on newlywed and young married couples. This is my experience in the last couple of years as Adele and I have really deepened in our experience of marriage. I began thinking, gosh, I wish we'd have done this from the beginning. And then talking to other young couples, you know, thinking and listening to what Pope Francis has been encouraging is, how do we help continue marriage preparation after the wedding day? And so a number of us began to talk about, well, perhaps we could take this very practical seminar and make it available, target it, if you will, to newlywed and young married couples. So that's when we approached the Archdiocese with this idea of a collaboration where we would work together and raise enough money, frankly, to make the Marriage in Christ seminar available to 400 newlywed couples in the Archdiocese.
Wow.
And charge them minimally, you know, or nothing if they can't afford it. And so we began working with Gene and others in the Archdiocese, and we've recruited about 11 parishes right now that we're going to be working with. We've been training couples to host the seminar. And so in terms of a target, while the seminar is really good for all married couples, we think that it would be terrific, a terrific way for young couples to continue their preparation for marriage, you know, after the wedding day.
After the wedding day, which is a wonderful idea. I've heard a lot of couples working with adults. I've heard a lot of couples say that exact thing. I wish marriage preparation was still going on.
Yeah.
So you said 11 parishes right now. So what if one of our listeners is involved in a parish that they think, yeah, my parish might be interested in doing something like this? Are you still in need of more host parishes at this point? And if so, how might they find out more?
Well, they can go to our website, or they can go to the Archdiocesan website as well, and work your way down to I think Marriage in Christ is a tab on there. And you see the parishes that are participating. If your parish isn't there, or if the dates aren't there, you can contact Emily, who you'll be talking to in a few minutes.
Very good.
And we can get you set up. One of the things we're doing now is inviting parishes that are interested in this is a two-year program, by the way, pilot program.
Okay.
If they want to participate in the second year, we're beginning to take names and invite them to attend a seminar and prepare so that they can begin to host them in their parish next year.
Right.
But there are There are seminars going to be going on in a variety of places around the Archdiocese, and if a couple wants to, you know, to take part in this, especially if they're a young couple, I mean, golly, it's $25 for a seminar. It's a cheap date, you know.
It sounds like it might be just the ideal Christmas gift as well.
Oh, I think so too. You know, especially for folks that are my age. You can't see me on the radio. I'm a little older, but but you know, a great gift to give to your children, a Christmas present as well as, you know, for husbands to give to their wives or whatever. Yeah.
What is the Marriage in Christ website, Bill?
MarriageinChrist.com.
Well, that's pretty easy to remember.
Pretty easy, yeah.
MarriageinChrist.com. So I know we're running short of time already, and we want to get to Andrew and Emily as well, but I do want to ask you one final question. If there is just one word that you might give somebody who's a little bit despairing, thinking about in this season of waiting and a season of anticipation, that they are they're seeming to lose hope in maybe a marriage that may not be falling apart, but it might be rather, maybe it's becoming stagnant. Mm-hmm. One word of encouragement or advice you might give?
Oh, I think I'd go with the word hope. You know, that we have a really big God who really loves us, who really loves marriage. And if we do our part in terms of, you know, making those little tiny steps in his direction, which frankly are his inspiration to move us forward anyway.
Right.
You know, I'd say have hope. Mm-hmm. Be intentional. Trust in the Lord. And, you know, if you don't use the Marriage in Christ seminar, find some other way in which you can grow and open that gift, the wedding present from God.
Yeah. Amen. Bill Walker, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour here this morning. It's been a pleasure to have you. We are going to take our next break, and as we do so, we're going to get ready to talk with Andrew and Emily, who are going to continue the conversation about marriage in Christ, so stay with us.
What does Relevant Radio mean to you?
I just wanted to remind our listeners that when they support Relevant Radio, they're not just supporting Relevant, they're also supporting their local apostolate who are given a voice through Relevant Radio for all of their ministries, their awareness of what they're doing.
Relevant Radio is a wonderful charity, and I know a lot of you have your own personal charities that you like to support. It might be the Cause of Life. It might be vocations. It might be Catholic education. And they're all noble, and I'm glad you support them, and you should. But I'll tell you what, when you support Relevant Radio, I'll tell you, you give a real boost, a real platform, a real bump to every one of those outlets.
Relevant Radio is listener-supported radio. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Recurring gift partners provide a stable source of income for Relevant Radio, helping to reduce both expense and dependency on pledge drives, allowing us to focus on our programs and future needs. Donate now at relevantradio.com, keyword gift, or tap on the banner on the Relevant Radio app.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Susanna Parent, our producer, Paul Sadek, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio studios, 1330 AM out in Golden Valley. Great to be with you this morning as we are talking about marriage and family. And joining me now in the studio are Emily and Andrew Hayden. We're continuing the conversation about marriage in Christ, the ministry Marriage in Christ. And Emily is actually the project manager of the initiative. And she and her husband hope to offer the perspective of a couple that has had their marriage transformed. That's one word that Bill used. Transformed by the seminar. So welcome to you both. Welcome to the studio.
Hi, Patrick.
Thank you.
Yeah, great to be with you. All right, so let us, just like with Bill, let us get to know you a little bit here at the outset. How long have you been married now?
We've been married for about 4.5 years.
4.5 years, okay. All right, very good. And are you native Minnesotans, native Twin Cityans?
I'm not.
Oh, really? Where are you from,
Andrew? I am from Memphis and Yuma and North Carolina, all over the place.
Oh, all over the place. Okay. Yeah. And now you've landed in the Great White North up here. Yeah.
Married a Minnesota girl.
All right. Very good. But you are a Minnesota girl.
I am. I'm originally from Red Wing, Minnesota.
Red Wing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Very nice. Lovely town. Yeah. Very good. Okay. So take us into your encounter with marriage in Christ. Where did you first encounter that, and when did you first go through the seminar?
Yeah, so I'm one of those people that's a little bit obsessive about reading the Sunday bulletin. I kind of take it out, read it cover to cover.
Folks, there are some.
Yes. Yeah. So one Sunday morning, I was reading it, and I came across this announcement for a marriage seminar.
Mm, okay.
And so as an engaged couple in the church, we were bombarded with marriage prep opportunities. We had Engaged Encounter. We did NFP classes, intensive marriage prep courses through the Diocese of Phoenix where we met. And we basically, once we were married, they stopped contacting us. We didn't really look for any opportunities, but Emily saw it in the bulletin and was like, oh, we should do this.
Yeah, and in fact, after 8 months, I would have said, hey, we've got a great marriage. Everything's just fine. We had kind of your typical battles about squeezing the toothpaste. Where do you, you know, where do you put the milk in the fridge? What was another one? Oh, the toilet paper roll, the classic.
Classic.
So we had all those, but we wouldn't have said we need help. So I think both of us were just incredibly surprised. We went through this marriage seminar at 8 months, and to see the way the Holy Spirit acted in our lives really was kind of humbling to see that we did need transformation after all.
And it was humbling and enriching to realize the graces we were missing out on. So the Bill talked about it earlier, but there's three keys to the seminar. It's praying together, talking together, and intentional acts of kindness towards the other.
Mm.
And so, I mean, it was great. And then God had good thoughts about what we should do, and Bill invited us to be discussion facilitators the next time we were doing the seminar.
Yeah. And this is actually a great timing. I was seven months pregnant at the time.
Oh, wow.
And me at 7 months pregnant brought a lot of challenges into our marriages. I would say one of the things was I just couldn't believe how much space this baby was taking up. I was getting huge, and I was thinking, man, why can't Andrew take on some of this baby growing, or men in general? So anyways, this kind of added an interesting challenge. And getting to step up our accountability as discussion facilitators in this new seminar was transforming our marriage again. It kind of allowed us to focus on our relationship instead of all my anxiety about giving birth and having a baby. So it was great timing.
Mm. So give me an example about something that changed either from the first seminar or even as you becoming facilitators. Something that changed in your marriage. I mean, was conversation increased? Was prayer time together increased? What did you do in terms of intentional acts of kindness?
Yeah, we definitely prayed more together. Once the seminar manual was done, there's a follow-up manual that you can use. And then we got into the Good News...
Good News People.
Or we did a Good News People session, and then we also have the Give Us This Day. It's kind of like the Magnificat, but mm-hmm. It's got that similar structure where you can read a little bit of scripture, and it has a meditation. It's got a saint of the day, and you could talk about that and then discuss those. So all those things were part of our routine after that.
Right. And how, in those ways, how would you describe it as being transformative? Like, what were you seeing less and less of the sort of, the frustrations of everyday and perhaps even pregnant life?
Yeah,
Are you seeing less of that, or is it having those things having a less effect on you?
Yeah, I would say probably the major change we saw is just our daily life was infused with these moments of joy, and we could see God in the daily acts that we did with each other instead of being focused on all these logistical things like, hey, when's the last time Daniel pooped? Hey, who did the laundry? when do we have to eat dinner tonight? So all of a sudden, those survival mode things that we kept talking about and were part of our daily life, all of a sudden, we were more focused on joyful moments instead.
Wow. Okay. Well, that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Emily, what does it mean to be a project manager? Is that what it is? Yeah, project manager. Okay,
project
right.
manager. And Andrew kind of mentioned how marriage in Christ tends to pop up at the right time in our lives.
Yeah.
And so this came at a perfect moment. I had just left my teaching job of 7 years, which I loved, to be a stay-at-home mom. And I realized through that experience, all my stereotypes of being a stay-at-home mom were just shattered. I have incredible respect for women that do that. I also realized I need some balance between time with my kids and without. So I was discerning what should I do next. And I get this email from Bill Walker one morning saying, hey, we need a project manager. Do you know anybody? And I said, yes, me. I want to. I need some part-time work. And so jumping onto this work has just been transforming in our marriage again and in my life, because it's really brought me back to being intentional about marriage. But I also get to talk to host couples who are training, recruiting, and working really hard to deliver this seminar to their parishes. So I've been blessed by a community of of other marriages.
Right.
In this
right.
project, yeah.
And let me ask you, Andrew, about one of the things Bill talked about was having some small group time with the men and that sort of thing. Do you find that that's helpful and constructive in your own role as a husband?
Absolutely. So as part of going through the seminar, you do split off into those gender groups, and you just become more accountable to other men or other women. And in the particular group that we hosted one year, it was all similar age, similar circumstance. We all had kids. And so it was just getting new perspectives on our marriages, seeing bright spots that other people had and seeing, oh, I can incorporate that into my marriage. And just learning about that father-husband role and how to deal with everything. So it's just really the accountability, the community that you build.
Right, right. Well, and that seems to be a huge way that the Lord has kind of intended for church to operate, is that we learn from one another, we hold each other accountable. So I really, this is, it's tied right in with the life of the church as I'm looking at it, yeah. So how many people usually attend one of these seminars? Does it vary a lot?
Yeah, I would say we've had as few as maybe 7 couples attend. And then there's been some parishes where they have up to 20 couples. So it really depends on the size of the parish, and kind of the interest of people in that parish.
Right. So tell me some stories about maybe some other marriages that you may have witnessed some of the same transformation in. Anybody that you've talked with mm-hmm. who has reported some good things happening in their marriages as a result of this?
Yeah, something we noticed is when we hosted our seminar, we were with a bunch of other young families, and so we got the opportunity to meet and talk about similar circumstances. But at the end of the seminar, it was amazing to talk about the changes, like you said, that people see in their marriages. A lot of them say, hey, this is the first time we've prayed together, even since we were married at our wedding day. All of a sudden, we have 2 or 3 times a week when we're praying together. Mm. Or all of a sudden, we have a community of people that support each other in their marriages. Mm-hmm. So we still meet weekly, sometimes monthly, with these other couples. Donut Sunday, we're there for like an hour. Our kids are running around, but we're able to talk with each other and be united by knowing that all of us are trying to put Christ at the center of our marriages.
Yeah, yeah, which takes a lot of intentionality, right?
Yeah, yes.
So Andrea is in the household now. And how many children do you have?
2.
You have 2 children. Okay. So it's you can still do the man-to-man defense, but it's, yeah, right. Okay. But even with that, it's a busy household and everything. And I'm just wondering, as far as intentionality goes, I mean, is it in your head frequently of, you know what, we haven't prayed together in a while. Maybe we need to do that again.
We do. And so every morning we'll wake up super early. I go to work at 6. And so Emily will wake up with me. We'll eat breakfast together. And we'll pull out a saint of the day, and we'll read about a saint. We'll have a little conversation about them. And at night, when we finally get the kids down for bed, we have a little breathing room, and we can take some time then as well.
Wow. Well, that's good to have a little bit of breathing room. And yeah, if indeed as the kids grow older and as maybe more kids come along the way, it's going to be tougher and tougher to find that. So let me ask you two the same thing that I asked Bill in terms of, maybe there is a listener right now who's tempted to a little bit of despair about a marriage that has grown stagnant, that's not really moving forward in the way that he or she thought it would. Any thoughts, especially from some of the philosophy of marriage in Christ, that can really help them out, a word that you might offer?
Well, I mean, just the acts of kindness that you can practice, they're very practical, and they're sometimes funny.
Okay, like what? What's funny?
And so there was this one time, one of the acts of kindness was reading together. It was the activity you could do. And so I guess I decided one night I was going to pick out a random book that we had and read it to Emily.
Yes, yeah, so I remember this moment. I was making dinner in the kitchen. I was boiling some pasta. I'm a great cook. I can boil pasta really well. So anyways, Andrew comes in, and I notice him enter, but the thing I really notice is his voice, because he's reading to me from The Magician's Nephew, which is first book in the Chronicles of Narnia. And what I notice is that he's taken on all these different accents and expressions for the different characters, and he's got a pretty hilarious British accent. Anyways, he's reading all these different voices, and it becomes something that actually is a habit to us. We read through the entire 7 books in the Chronicles of Narnia. We read them out loud to each other. And then went on to read C.S. Lewis has a science fiction trilogy we read to each other. So this habit of reading out loud has really been very enjoyable and funny because we, both of us, are, I would say, are terrible actors, but it's fun to like take on different characters. And we have great discussions about the messages in the books and the decisions the characters make. So yeah,
they all broaden our perspectives and deepen our conversations. So it's a win-win.
Yeah, yeah.
You wonder what she's going to be thinking about and how are we going to move on with this conversation. So it's just really positive.
You know what's striking me about all of this in Marriage in Christ, both from Bill's testimony and from yours, is that this isn't a hugely laborious effort. I mean, it is an effort. You need intentionality. It is an effort. But you can start relatively small, just with taking an extra, however, 10 minutes and to take that time to pray or take that time to have a conversation or to read one another in an outrageous British accent or something like that. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, just let me ask you again, since maybe people missed the top of the show, if people are interested in finding out more about Marriage in Christ, where should they go? How can they find out more?
Yeah, so they can go to our website, marriageinchrist.com. They can also go to the Archdiocesan website, where they can find, there's a tab for Marriage in Christ that lists all the different 11 seminars that are going to be happening starting in January.
In January, wow. And again, a great idea for a Christmas gift, either for yourselves or your children, or both, or maybe even grandchildren out there who are of marriage age. Yeah, wonderful. Well, Andrew and Emily, thank you. I'm sorry our time is short, but thank you so much for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Very good. And we are going to bring up to the mic here now Jean Stoppelstedt, who is the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. And she is going to help us continue the conversation about marriage and family, and specifically around this holy season of Advent. So, Jean, welcome to the program. It's good to have you here.
It's always good to be here. Thank you so much.
Yeah, very good. Very good. How are things going over there at the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life?
You know, it's always a joy to be involved in the many aspects and initiatives we have going on through the office and throughout the Archdiocese. And listening this morning to Emily and Andrew and Bill just reminds me what an important impact families have on our culture today. Even when we seem to be hidden and invisible, maybe to others, the way that we care about each other, the way we love each other, has a huge impact. So it's always busy and it's always good.
Very good. Very good. And we're all grateful for the work that you do over there.
Thank you
for that. Let's talk a little bit about Advent. I hear you might have some suggestions for us about some things to do or to partake in Advent as a family.
Absolutely. You know, as listening to Emily and Andrew talk about how Marriage in Christ was transformative in their life, and even at very early on in their marriage. And some people might find that surprising. I think they themselves found that surprising, that, whoa, yeah, no, we can really grow here. That's a beautiful thing about our church. Until we arrive at the gates of heaven, we are in a process of transformation. There's no such thing as downtime, right?
Right, absolutely, right.
And Advent is a gift to everyone, to each family and each person in the life of the church. And even just the name Advent is a way of preparing for the coming of Christ. And it means arrival or approach. And in our hearts, we long for that arrival and the approach of Christ more fully in this life, as well as in his second coming and in our entrance into heaven. And so because of that, Advent has some really strong characteristics. It's a season of hopeful longing, of joyful expectation, of prayerful penance, and spiritual preparation. And you kind of notice that there's this sense of going forward, of not yet, of searching, right? There's kind of a little bit of a mystery there. And Advent also looks at salvation history in the past and in our present redemption, you know, what God is doing in our lives right in the here and now, as well as to his future coming. So in a way, Advent really connects us to the spirituality with God's whole plan of redemption for us. And there are ways that we can do it at every stage of life. We can live this Advent season well. And even if you've not done anything up to this point except put up your Christmas tree and maybe a little bit of Christmas shopping, there's still time to prepare well for the coming of Christ at Christmas.
That's right.
Some of the things that we've done in our family when I was growing up or with our own children is particularly in this last week before Advent, is we've got our little stockings hung up, and the kids used to write, do acts of kindness or penance, and they would write those down, and we'd put them in the Christmas stocking as a gift to Jesus.
Nice.
And then on Christmas morning, Santa.
There's air quotes going on here, folks. Yes, all right.
Would replace the slips of paper with a little tiny infant Jesus in the bottom of the stocking.
Okay.
And it kind of helped to tie in that Christ accepted their sacrifice and gave himself to them.
Mm.
So there was this give and take of receive and give. Give and receive.
That's great, yeah.
And I think it was really important for our kids to realize that when they wake up on Christmas morning, how do they want to be different? And I would ask myself that same question.
Sure.
How do I want to be different? How is the coming of this season of Christmas going to change me? And then I would live my Advent accordingly and maybe try to live a particular virtue better, asking Christ to bring that to me.
Yeah.
Another tradition that we would have for the Advent season is the third Sunday of Advent.
Mm-hmm.
In Italy, the Holy Father blesses all the baby Jesuses.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah.
So we've got our creche up, and on the third Sunday of Advent, I would encourage families to take their little baby Jesus to Mass and ask Father to bless it for them, or sometime during that week. And ask Father to bless the baby Jesus. And then on Christmas or Christmas Eve, they could have a little procession and place the infant Christ back in the manger.
Yeah, wonderful. That's a great tradition. And I would imagine that the whole family can enter into that as well. Gathered around, I can just see it. The
right.
Infant Jesus as Father is blessing it. Yeah, wonderful. Okay,
another tradition that we would have is really actually in going into the Christmas season itself and to celebrate particularly the Christmas octave. And there's 8 days that are really, really important. And each one has a specific feast day. And these represent different aspects of Christ's redemption in our life. One of the things that we do on the Feast of the Holy Innocents, which is the martyrdom when the Herod murdered all of the little children thinking that he was going to wipe out the infant Christ, we counter that with a celebration of love. And there's a little, it's actually a Polish tradition where you get this little thin wafer. And the head of the household at dinner time breaks it apart and passes it around to each person in the family and blesses them and then kisses them and then invites all of the others to do the same. And we know that Bethlehem is the house of bread.
Yeah.
And so we share that breaking of the thin wafer, which is slightly reminiscent of the Eucharist, and sharing that blessing and communion with each other.
Wow.
So that is a really an interesting way to live the Holy Innocents.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
And finally, I think another way that we can really celebrate and live well in this octave is to remember the feast of on New Year's Day, the feast of the Mother of God,
mm-hmm.
which is, again, a very important aspect of Christmas, identifying that Christ was both man and God, and that Mary, therefore, is the Mother of God. And she brings about a sense of, she's also revered as the Queen of Peace on that day. And so we should kind of look towards those areas in our life that are divisive, people who live on the margins, and try to bring peace into those relationships or to those particular persons doing acts of charity and kindness.
Yeah, love it. Okay, wow, great suggestions here. And all of them, or at least the ones that take place actually during the Christmas season or during the Christmas octave, those, it sounds like, requires a little bit of preparation. For the Holy Innocents, you have to make sure that everybody's together, for one thing.
Right.
And, yeah, yeah.
And again, there is that intentionality. We are a family, and we should spend time together, particularly in this holy season. It's also about unity,
mm-hmm.
right? We
mm-hmm.
have to share our joy with each other and be present, be fully present to one another.
Right, right, which is not always easy, if we're honest. I mean, we have to be very intentional about that. Sometimes it's, the mind is thinking about, boy, I'd really like to be sitting in my recliner watching the football game right now. But no, I need to be fully present. So just actually in our last minute together here, Gene, is there any place that you would point people for further resources and ideas about not necessarily just about Advent and Christmas, but how to strengthen marriages and places to go to see ideas about how to bring families together as well?
I think there's a tremendous amount of resources on foryourmarriage.com, which is from the USCCB, as well as the Archdiocesan website. So those would be two simple ways to connect yourself with an abundance of resources.
Yeah, wonderful. Gene Stovall-Said, Director of the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, thank you so much for joining us on the Rediscover Hour this morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. We are going to go into our final break right now, but when we come back, there are more things that we can do to deepen our faith in the Lord, so stay with us. Rediscover.
Father Simon Says on Relevant Radio.
I rely on your show daily. I want you to know I really appreciate it. Well,
oh dear.
It helps me a lot.
Father Simon Says.
Have a question?
I know Catholics don't believe about the rapture, but what do we believe about the end times?
We believe in the parousia.
Father Simon Says.
What I like about your explanations is it gives me great reason to go back and listen to the podcast 3 or 4 times to really, really understand it.
It helps.
Concentrated. And I need
I talk fast, yes.
Oh, it's wonderful stuff.
The Reverend Know-It-All, Father Richard Simon.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, good. Father.
What can I do for you?
God bless you, and you make me laugh all the time.
If you don't laugh, you cry.
Father Simon Says.
Enough with the kvetching.
Father Simon Says, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on Relevant Radio.
Talk to you tomorrow. I am off like a cheap toupee.
I can't stop laughing. Off like a cheap
toupee. That's our Father Rich.
That's great. I love it.
We love him dearly.
I'm going to have to use that one myself. I love that. I love that.
So do you want my marriage advice?
Sure, Paul.
Keep forgiving. Keep seeking forgiveness. And that's it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's worth the price of admission right there.
All right.
What else we got going on, Paul?
Well, the Office of Vocations invites men who are seniors in high school to age 50 to a discernment retreat December 29th through 31st at Christ the King Retreat Center in Buffalo, Minnesota. This annual retreat includes talks by Archbishop Hebda and includes time for prayer, reconciliation, recreation, plenty of great food. Do you know someone discerning whether God may be calling them to the priesthood? Spread the word. Register with the Office of Vocations at, 1,000 or 10,000?
It's 10,000 vocations.
I thought so. Yeah. 10,000 vocations, and that's one with 4 zeros
correct.
After it?
Yes, that's right.
Vocations.org or call 651-962-6890 by December 18th.
Discover how you can be involved in prison ministry as you answer Jesus' call. You can be involved in outside prison ministry, so things like Pen Pal, Angel Tree, Prayer Warrior, birthday card writing, Families of the Incarcerated Support and Hope, or join Twin Cities Prison Ministry Steering Committee. Or you can be involved in inside prison activity with things like Residents Encounter Christ retreats, Catholic studies, or mentoring. Lumen Christi Catholic Church in St. Paul will be holding an Introduction to Twin Cities Prison Ministry event on Thursday, January 4th from 7 to 8:30 p.m.
Endow. Envision a world where every woman has the opportunities, knowledge, and courage, and the support to be the best version of themselves, made in the image and likeness of God. The Office of Evangelization is collaborating with Endow and is bringing in Mallory Smith for a day with Endow, a retreat day to help explore the topic of the feminine genius. It'll be held at St. Olaf's in Minneapolis, Saturday, January 13th, 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. For more information and to register, visit the events page at rediscover-faith.org or call Susanna Parent. Give her an email at parents@archspm.org.
You are invited to the Healing the Whole Person Retreat, which is being held at the Church of the Epiphany in Coon Rapids. The retreat will be held from January 18th to 20th and includes a talk on Introduction to Healing the Whole Person, Facing Our Brokenness, Encountering the Father's Love, and Living in Freedom. For questions and more information, visit epiphanymn.org or contact Jill Fink at jfink@epiphanymn.org.
Change is coming January 5th.
Change is coming to the Rediscover Hour on January 5th. We're going to change our times, Paul.
I hear that.
Yeah. We're going to be on, instead of Friday at 9 a.m., we're going to be on Fridays at 9 p.m. We're going to be on Saturdays. Instead of at 6 p.m., we're going to be on at noon.
That'll be a good time.
That is
working
a good time.
Working in the garage, exactly. Listen to the Rediscover.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about right there. And then Sundays, we're going to stick with the good old 9 a.m. So Rediscover Hour in January will begin airing at 9 p.m. on Friday, noon on Saturday, and Sundays at 9 a.m.
What a fun show coming up next week at the regular time.
You know, one of the best parts of the season, even though I'm a bit of a Scrooge about it, is the music.
You are.
The music, Paul.
Yep.
You're a musician. You understand what I'm saying.
Well, I pretend to be.
Well,
I play one, not on the radio, but I pretend to be one.
Very good.
Yes.
Well, the Friday before Christmas, we're gonna hear from local Catholic musicians, some of whom are featured on our Rediscover Faith-Music page, and we'll be playing Advent music and Christmas music from a whole bunch of artists, including a live in-studio interview with Stephen C. Anderson. And don't miss this, folks. We're also going to be giving away a reserved front pew and a parking spot for Midnight Mass at the Cathedral of St. Paul. That's all coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour. Join us for our music show, and I'm going to try my hand as a DJ. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org. and at relevantradio.com, keyword Rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.